Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you, hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four intelligent, articulate, clever, amusing individuals who are going to show off their verbal dexterity, their ingenuity with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Lisa Tarbuck and Jack D. Would you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score, blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Greenwich Theatre in that lovely area of southeast London, which is called Greenwich. And that's why it's called the Greenwich Theatre. And we have a lovely Greenwich-type audience in the audience here who've come from far and wide to cheer us on our way. So we begin the show. Let's begin with Jack D. He's only played it once before. Jack, oh, a good subject, a topical subject, the 2012 Olympics. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The 2012 Olympics are, of course, a huge excitement. One of the things I think they've missed out from the plans is to involve a village idiot for the Olympics. I think that every Olympiad should have an Olympics village idiot.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two village idiots.
Two village idiots.
I got carried away with the idea, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, maybe two would be more fun than just one, I don't know. Clement, you get a point for a correct challenge. We give Jack D a point, for we loved his contribution there, which is a bonus point to him. Clement, you have the subject, the 2012 Olympics, 46 seconds available, starting now.
The very good news I have for the people of Greenwich is the 2012 Olympics have been given to London. And as soon as I heard that we had the 2012 Olympics, I went into training. It is no... It was...
Paul, challenge.
Slight hesitation.
There was a hesitation. Mm. Yes, he made his point about his training. They all looked at him, and No, it was a great joke. He deserved his response.
I was going to say the over-80s pole vault.
I'll join you, Clement. Mm.
Good.
But, Paul, you had a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. And you have 28 seconds, Paul. The 2012 Olympics starting now.
London bid against all other major cities in the world. Not all of them, because some of them are before.
Clement challenged.
Repetition of all?
Yes, on all of them, yes. So Clement, you got in with the correct challenge again, and you have 18 seconds to take over the 2012 Olympics starting now.
I think to have Brighton, Hove and Winchelsea as places where people are going to pull weights... I'm not sure
Jack,
where this challenge is getting.
That was hesitation.
It was hesitation, yeah. Jack, yes. And you've got in with 10 seconds available. Tell us something about the 2012 Olympics starting now.
If this was not on the radio, you would be able to see that I am, of course, in peak physical condition. And I intend to stay that way for the next 4 years or so that I can take part in the Olympiad, which I am so...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Jack D. He's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud, then Paul Merton, then Lisa Tarbuck. And Lisa, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is the perfect Sunday afternoon. Just have a little thought about it, then talk on the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
Let's suppose I've had quite a late brunch of perhaps thickly chopped mushrooms in a pan with some goat's butter and half a tin of cherry tomatoes on top, lightly fried just to evaporate and make it a bit thicker, on rye, because that's my favourite preferred at the moment, and 15 pots of tea with the cryptic crosswords from The Observer and The Times, I'm already blissed off my chonk, and anything you bring into me, I can only say to you, will just make my day better, brighter.
Jack has challenged you.
I would prefer we keep street parlance out of this, wouldn't you?
List. I have no idea.
So you're
where that
challenging
came from.
For what?
Deviation from good English.
No.
No. I think everybody in the audience understood what she meant by it.
No.
Thank you.
It's a lovely phrase. I'm going to try and remember that. What was it you said?
I said, blissed off my chonk. Have I ever said it before? No.
How many? many people in the audience have been pissed off their chonk?
No,
brist off your chonk.
Not on a Sunday morning.
That's a... Well, some Sunday mornings is quite nice, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, to be fair, yeah.
I don't know if Lisa's idyllic Sunday was drinking heavily on her own.
That would make me quite lonely, wouldn't it?
Yes, but anyway, it was an incorrect challenge, so...
drinking heavily at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. 30 seconds are still available, Lisa. The perfect Sunday afternoon starting now.
With a little liaison avec my ginger friend, who happens to be Welsh Wolf, a dog.
Full chance.
It's a bit garbled in there, was it? Sort of
terribly garbled, yeah. I don't know. Her ginger friend, who was something about a dog.
The front row understood.
Yeah. I didn't understand it.
With a little yawn, because basically he whines to let me know he needs to go for a walk.
I tell you what, Lisa, we didn't understand it, but... But you didn't hesitate, deviate, or repeat anything.
Five points will buy my silence.
No. So we give you the
benefit... What did you say this years ago?
We give you the benefit of the doubt, Lisa. Keep the subject, and you have 24 seconds. The perfect Sunday afternoon starting now.
Opening a bottle of wine at about 11:30 and making sure...
Jack Challenge.
Excuse me, this is deviation, because we're talking about perfect Sunday afternoon. Yeah. 11:30 is in the morning.
Well,
isn't that preparation for the afternoon?
Thank you, Mr.
Merton. Starting drinking at 11:30.
Not in just a minute.
No, really?
Somebody did this, the perfect Sunday afternoon. She had gone to 11:30 in the morning. So, Jack...
Because otherwise we could be talking about Saturday afternoon, which leads into Sunday morning, which leads into Sunday afternoon. Yes. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I think best to nip it in the bud.
Yeah. And you have 21 seconds to carry on, take over the subject. Jack, the perfect Sunday afternoon starting now.
When I think of my perfect Sunday afternoon, I always imagine...
Lisa, you've challenged.
Hesitation. I thought I'd just nip it in the bud.
Mm. Well, it's a shame it's got so personal, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Lisa, you've got the subject back again. You've got 17 seconds. The perfect Sunday afternoon starting now.
Having drawn a beautifully temperate bath...
Full challenge.
Is it me? Am I going deaf?
No.
I lost the sense of that in the middle of the...
It wasn't quite English. A beautiful, tempt bath.
Yeah, the deviation
from
English.
I went to say temperature. And I ended it... I tried to say temperate.
Yeah.
And you didn't. But I think that was a sort of a deviation from English as we understand it.
I don't doubt that. Well, formally, you're right.
Paul, you have a correct challenge. 14 seconds, the perfect Sunday afternoon, starting now.
There's nothing I like better on a Sunday afternoon than getting pissed off my chonk. I go down the pub, knock it back as if it's no tomorrow. I have no idea how much I consumed alcoholic-wise, but I know when the end of the evening, if I can't remember my name...
Clement, challenge your challenge.
Repetition of no.
No.
Bit harsh.
It was a bit harsh, because we enjoyed it. You were going magnificently. But Clemens got in with 3 seconds to go on the perfect Sunday afternoon, starting now.
My perfect Sunday afternoon would be in 2012.
Lisa, challenge.
Do you know what? I just did that then to try and get in with 1/2 second.
So you've no challenge within the rules of just a minute.
I'm just a little bit, hot.
Darling, you've got lots of points in that round. And
it's just a game.
You're doing very well. And Clement, I've got to be fair, it was an incorrect challenge. So
quite
Clement,
right.
Another point, 1/2 second to go, the perfect Sunday afternoon starting now.
I was right, he was still hesitating.
The person who should have been speaking when the whistle went was Clement Freud, so he got that extra point on that occasion. And he's now out in the lead. He's 2 ahead of Jack D, and then the one behind was Lisa Tarbuck and Paul Merton. That's the situation. And Clement, will you begin the next round? The subject... No, something's happened. Oh, the watch has gone funny. Is the watch working now? I must explain to our listeners, because the audience are intrigued. Trudy never speaks. She just mimes everything. She's not actually deaf and dumb.
Can I just say, Nicholas, I think Trudy's doing a really good job, and if this ends up in a tribunal, I want no part of it.
Trudy also has a sense of humour. She knows it's all done for fun. In fact, this is what we do, the whole thing for
you
fun.
You never can tell these days. They'll laugh away, and next thing you know, you've got a court order slapped on you.
She smiles a lot, but never speaks, right? Some men's dream, isn't it? I wasn't suggesting for a moment it was my dream. I said, it is some chauvinist-type people's dream. Mm. I'm not a chauvinist. Oh, no, and I've embraced the opposite sex as many times as I possibly can. And good luck to them. They're taking over the world, unfortunately. There we are. There we are.
It was going so well.
No, I'm afraid we ineffectual men have to admit that they are the stronger sex. They really do dominate, but they do very well. I'm digging a hole for myself, aren't I? Right.
I think you've just hit the Bakerloo line, haven't you?
Oh, forgive me. Clement, it's your turn to begin. So now, can you talk about Behind the Times, 60 seconds, starting now?
When the Times decreased its volume, or rather the pages became smaller than they were, it was very difficult to be behind the times and not miss an awful lot of what was...
Paul, you challenged.
Well, there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. Yes. Paul, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. Take over the subject. 49 seconds, Behind the Times, starting now.
Just a Minute is 40 years older this year, and if you listen to the very early recordings, you can hear Clement and Kenneth and Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo and, of course, Nicholas indulge in this magnificent game, and, in fact, it hasn't dated whatsoever. I was listening...
Clement, challenge.
Absolutely right.
Well, he's picking bonus points up all the time, isn't he? But, Paul, you were interrupted. You get a point for that. You keep the subject Behind the Times. 35 seconds, starting now.
It's fascinating to listen to it, and it is incredibly, extremely fantastic to think that this programme is still running after all this length of time.
Jack Charles.
There was a hesitation there with the words.
No, he was keeping going.
All this length of time.
Yes, he was struggling a little, but he didn't actually hesitate.
Right, well, I won't interrupt again, then.
You might have had him for deviation of language, a length of time, but it doesn't matter. No, Paul, an incorrect challenge, 25 seconds, Behind the Times, starting now.
The man behind the Times is literally Rupert Murdoch. The editor of that august newspaper must occasionally consult with the great newspaper baron because...
Lisa, challenge.
Newspaper.
That's right, newspaper.
Did I say newspaper? That was a bit stupid of me.
No, you're talking about the newspaper and then the newspaper baron.
Oh, well, did I?
Yes, you did. Don't you listen to what you say?
I don't listen to this. It's bad enough saying it. It's everybody else I feel sorry for.
Lisa, another point to you and 15 seconds on Behind the Times, starting now.
It could be said that my lovely dad, also known as the Great Bear, is behind the times. When it was Christmas last, we all told him that the sofa was really rather uncomfortable and couldn't house all 12 of us. Would he mind shelling out to get a better one with a new chair for himself?
Well, at the end of that round, Lisa Tarbuck was speaking as a whistle, wind gained that extra point. She's moved forward. She's still equal in third place with Jack D, just behind Paul Merton, and ahead of them is Clement Freud. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is, for what we are about to receive. That is the subject. Talk on it, if you can, starting now.
For what we are about to receive, we must surely be grateful. It's something like that, isn't it? Grace that's said after a meal, or before even, I suppose, because you're talking about what you are about to receive rather than what has been received.
Chairman Challenge.
Rather.
Yes.
Did I?
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
That's rather. Not like me.
Clement, another challenge correct to you, and 49 seconds available for what we are about to receive, starting now.
Is what the manager tends to tell the receptionist for what we are about to receive. For God's sake, be careful and say we're fully booked. There's no more accommodation in this nice hostelry to which they are trying to go. For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful, is what you tend to get before a meal, irrespective of the quality of the food that follows. Yeah.
Poor challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, there was. I don't know where
stopped.
It was going.
It stopped, yeah.
It stopped, yes.
Is that hesitation?
If you stop, it's
no,
hesitation.
I deliberately stopped.
It's probably only hesitation if he starts again.
That's right. Yes.
But
if
in
I
just
can't have a point, could I have the benefit of the doubt?
No. because that's the only way we can interpret if someone comes to a halt, they have hesitated. So, Paul, correct challenge. 22 seconds for what we are about to receive, starting now.
If you play the noble game of cricket and you're a batsman, you can look down to the other wicket and think to yourself, the bowler is coming towards me now. He may be fast, slow, medium pace, but you have to say to yourself, for what I'm about to receive, I must be truly grateful, because here is a chance to score a run, perhaps a four, a boundary, six, any kind of number of runs could...
Got the runs there and...
you anticipated from this
I got that wrong. My apologies. Mm.
Mm. You needn't apologise. It's always nice hearing from you, Jack.
Oh, right. Good. Good. Yeah. I'll do it more often then.
But I'm afraid Paul got in with... You challenged him with half a second to go. So another half second, Paul, on what we're about to receive starting now.
Radiograms and hot air balloons!
Right. So, Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle win, gained that extra point. He's moving up on our leader, Clement Freud. And Lisa, it's with you to begin. The subject now, regional accents. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
To understand a regional accent, the best thing to do is have a look at the geography of the area. For example, if you were going into central England and therefore perhaps Birmingham, you might recognise that the area looks like...
Clement, Charles.
Recognise,
yes.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's right.
It's better than area.
Yes. 49 seconds, Clement. Regional accents starting now.
You will know that I'm pretty good at regional accents. For instance, my Cornish is better than Devon. Somerset and Wiltshire come next. I then do Sussex with extreme skill. Whereas...
Paul challenged.
Clement, would you mind treating us?
Are you going to respond to the challenge?
I was going to do Suffolk and Norfolk and Lincoln next.
All right. So you get a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. Oh. Clement's got to keep the subject and respond to the challenge. And there are 34 seconds of regional accents, Clement, starting now.
My Derbyshire accent is probably the most notable, and that which people frequently request I do during my...
Paul challenge.
Clement, would you do your Derbyshire accent? It's the one you get all the requests for, isn't it?
Yeah.
You swear you're in Derbyshire when you hear it. You really will.
Paul, we enjoyed the interruption. Another point to you. Clement's still got the subject. He's got 25 seconds with your Derbyshire accent starting now.
We had in Suffolk a man called the Singing Postman who had the most wonderful regional accent. Have you got a light boy?
I'm sorry, I wish I didn't. I shouldn't have challenged them. It was repetition of accents.
It was a repetition of accents.
We've had accents on the car, but it's accent.
And he was doing accent in the singular then.
Yeah.
So, Paul, you've last got the subject. And you've got 18 seconds on regional accents starting now.
Various cities throughout this country could be heard in the... Oh, no.
Jack.
That was a really good bit as well.
All right. Maybe.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Hesitation,
Jack.
In a sort of South London accent, yeah. So I would say.
I was about to give you a panoply. Yeah.
14 seconds, Jack. Tell us something about regional accents starting now.
Regional accents are something of a misnomer, of course, because it isn't the area that has the accent rather than the people who live within it. I usually think that regional accents are rather charming, and I like to hear...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of rather.
Yes.
Well, if we're going to split hairs, yes.
So, you've got in another point, Clement. 2 seconds on regional accents starting now.
The regional accents in the northeast of England.
So, Clement Freud's regional accents, which he never demonstrated, though he was challenged frequently to do so, kept him going, and he's now increased his lead at the end of that round, ahead of Paul Merton in second place, Jack D, and then Lisa Tarbuck in that order. And the subject is, Jack, we'd like to you to begin this round. It's traffic jams.
How long do I have? A minute?
You have a minute. You have 60 seconds. I'm fascinated, Jack, that you write down that you've got a minute.
Well, because I have written it down, but what I've realised that as it doesn't change on the paper, so it doesn't help. It doesn't work like a stopwatch.
What I do is I write a second on every page and then flick through one at a time.
Thanks, see. Susan, that's a nice tip. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for that, Paul. That'll help.
And anyway, Jack, it's traffic jams. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
For my last birthday, I was delighted to be given a pot of strawberry conserve.
Lisa, you challenged.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
Although it was quite interesting, and if you had not interrupted, you would have found out a bit more about that. But now you'll never know, because I won't.
55 seconds still available, Lisa. Traffic jams starting now.
There's nothing I like...
Paul,
yes.
Hesitation there, wasn't there?
Oh,
you could have made a ham sandwich then.
It was because he was talking. He was talking in my ear, putting me off.
I know, he was putting
you
off.
He was, yeah.
I think, was he?
Yes,
yeah.
I think.
Oh. So, really Paul, aggressively.
Paul, I'll tell you what I do. To be utterly fair, I give you a point because it was a correct challenge. But well, Lisa, the benefit of the doubt, because Jack was nobbling her. And,
But it's okay.
Funny how nerves take you.
Professionally, not physically. Mm. And, well, it was physical, but not the other way.
It was physical.
Lisa.
My lord.
You have the benefit of the doubt, and you have traffic jams still, and there are 53 seconds starting now.
There's absolutely nothing I like more.
Chairman, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
She didn't hesitate.
True.
She didn't hesitate.
But it's not a correct challenge, Clement.
A lesser woman would crumble.
But it was a clever one, so give him a bonus point. He loves his bonus points. Lisa, you got a point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 52 seconds. Traffic jams starting now.
Nothing a...
That was a sudden halt.
That was a definite hesitation.
Hesitation, right.
And you have 50 seconds available still on traffic jams, Paul, starting now.
Traffic jams, what a wonderful subject that is. We've all been stuck in traffic jams at some time in our life or other. I was travelling here today from central London. Indeed, I got caught up in a traffic jam, so there was nothing for it. I jumped into the River Thames and swam the rest of the way. I'm dedicated to show he doesn't care, they can't stop me. I wasn't even booked tonight. Kit Heskiff Harvey's in a cupboard back there. I tied him up.
Jack, you're challenged.
It's deviation, really, because if you're in a traffic jam, you should have taken a deviation from that point.
Yes.
But also, you started talking about swimming, and that's not...
To avoid the traffic jam?
No, you don't get off that lightly. Not in my book.
All right, he was deviating. Well done, Jack. You have 34 seconds on traffic jams. Jack, look, you keep flirting.
Sir, Lisa just put me off.
I know. The two of you are having little games together there.
They separate them. Separate them.
Naughty boy. Right. You write the numbers first, don't you? 34 seconds. You're going to write it down?
I will, yes. So I know.
Remember, that number is subject to change.
It is.
And there are 34 seconds. Traffic jams, Jack, starting now.
Going back to the aforementioned celebration when I was presented with...
Clement Challenge.
What does he mean by aforementioned?
Well, he mentioned a celebration once before.
My birthday, yeah.
Your birthday, yes.
Repetition.
Yeah, but not... It's a repetitious thought, but he wasn't repeating anything within this round of just a minute, Clement.
No.
Has he spoken in this round of just a minute?
Yes, he has.
I did. I started it. I started it, Clement.
Nurse, he's out of bed again.
That was a long time ago.
Jack, you've still got the subject. You've got a point as well. 30 seconds, traffic jams, starting bed.
As I was saying, I was presented with a very nice jar of strawberry conserve, and in it were little confectionery...
Cinnamon challenge.
Repetition of strawberries. He had just got the strawberries.
I can see this story isn't going to get told, is it?
So did you repeat strawberries?
Probably yes.
Right.
It's quite difficult not to.
So 25 seconds available, Clement. Another point. And the subject to you, traffic jams are starting now.
I was in Buckfast Lee, not far from Totnes in Devon, and using my regional accent...
Paul Towns.
Oh, no, I thought it was a hesitation, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't a hesitation, no, Paul. So Clement has another point, and he has 20 seconds on traffic jams starting now.
I had a Devonshire tea and said, that's traffic jam. And they said...
My immediate thought was east side of Chicago.
So what's your challenge?
Well, I don't think that's a Devonshire accent, is it?
Well, it's...
Do we get a lot of listeners in Devon? I'm sure we do.
Yeah. Well, it was Clement's attempt to try and do a Devon accent, but I don't think it quite came off somehow.
What part of Welsh is that?
That's very cool, Clement.
And, strangely accurate.
Paul, what was your challenge when the rules were just made?
It wasn't a Devonshire accent.
It was a deviation from a Devon accent. Yeah. So you have a point. You have 14 seconds. Traffic jams starting now.
I have traffic jam experience going throughout the country. If you go to Liverpool, you think of various composers that might fit the Scouse accent. Mozart! That's a good example. If you go to Birmingham...
These are challenged.
A deviation.
What?
Mozart.
Mozart. Don't give me that, lad. But we're suddenly on accents when in fact
traffic
we were on traffic jams.
Various places. Traffic jams.
I don't understand, sir.
I'm trying to do the stuff I would have done in regional accents.
Yeah, well, just hang fire.
Birmingham, Rimsky-Korsakov. But the best one is Newcastle, Schopenhauer.
I don't know what to say here now, because we've only got five seconds to go, and Paul keeps the subject, traffic jams, 5 seconds, starting now.
It was John Major's great contribution to democracy to come up with a cone line. Do you remember that? You had to phone a particular number.
Right. So, I said earlier that this will be the last round, and I'm afraid it is. Jack D, who's only played the game once before...
I don't want your pity.
Now I'm going to compliment you because you did marvellously.
Thank you.
I won't mention you came in fourth place, but you did fantastic. Lisa Tarnbach, who's played it a few times, contributed amazingly. She came in third place. She's a few points behind Clement Freud and Paul Merton, who happen to be equal in the lead, so that's a very fair result. Joint winners on this side. So it remains for me to say thank you to our four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Jack D, Lisa Tarbuck and Clement Freud. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such aplomb. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're grateful to our producer, to Lucia Gilani, and we're also grateful to this lovely audience at the Greenwich Theatre here in Greenwich. So from them and me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.